they taught me about the Bible and they taught me about Jesus with their words. But I think what was so much more impactful is they lived that way. Mm. And so it came second nature to me to want to love others in that way. And on the one hand, I think they were a little bit surprised when I made the life choices that I did. But on the other hand, I think maybe they weren't so surprised because I think that that was who they raised me to be.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today. If there's a topic that everybody can relate to, especially this time of year, it's anxiety.
And stress.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
for sure.
I mean, December, but Christmas, and again, we've talked about this, you know, how I feel about Christmas because we spend way too much money on gifts for the grandkids. We don't even buy each other anything. But the anxiety of the bank account for me is mm-hmm. just something that keeps me up at night.
It doesn't keep me up. I'm so excited to give people gifts, but I do stay awake thinking, how am I going to get all of this done? And who am I forgetting? And there's just so many things we can all think about and go through. But I'm excited to have Katie Davis Majors back with us today because, Katie, you've written a book called Safe All Along, which is trading our fears and anxiety for God's unshakable peace. And you've lived this. This is part of your story. And especially this time of year, we've already been talking about it for a couple of days, but man, we need this. Yeah. Let's kind of review. Give us a little snippet of your family, where you've been living for the last many years, but for the last 3 years, it's different. So give us a little.
Sure. So I moved to Uganda in East Africa when I was 18 and founded a ministry there. I met my husband there and together we adopted our 13 daughters. And then we have 2 biological sons. So we've got 15 children in total. I mean, we had planned to live in Uganda for all of our days, for the rest of our lives. But very unexpectedly, about 3 years ago, we ended up moving to the United States. Right as I had kind of started the process of writing this book. So I felt like God gave me an opportunity to take this message that he had put on my heart and really start to live into it because I was in a completely unexpected place, in a place where I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to do a lot of things in America that most adults do and take for granted. And so I had to really look at my own life and heart and begin to kind of live this message and ask the Lord, God, how, you know, I see in scripture that you promise me peace, right? A peace that passes understanding, but I don't feel that. So how can I experience your deep peace? And Jesus and Paul, they talk a lot about not being anxious and it feels easier said than done.
Yep.
Well, I'm imagining you moving here with 15 children. Your youngest is 2 and your oldest was
26.
You haven't lived in the United States at this point since you were 18 years old, and now you have a huge family.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about stress and anxiety. So you have had to live out what you've written in these pages. And can I just say, you're homeschooling, you're an author, you have these kids, and you're 36 years old. God has put a lot on your plate.
Mm.
How do you not be anxious in the midst of all this?
I mean, I'm anxious just listening to that thing.
I'm feeling guilty. I have 3 kids and 7 grandchildren, and I'm like barely making it. And so how can we have peace, especially not just in our lives, but at this time of year? What does that look like and how do you attain it? And we asked the question yesterday with you. You talked about spending time with God, and I'm like, how in the world are you doing that with all these kids? Being in the Word, what does that look like practically? Because we as moms want to know, you know?
Right,
and
right.
Dads.
One of the things that caught me off guard the most when we moved to America is just the pace that a lot of people in the United States are living at. There are a lot of cultures that don't live like this. They are not in a hurry the way that we are. And so something that I think I've really had to learn, it feels like swimming upstream quite a bit in the current culture, but just kind of not living at this hurried pace that the world tells you you have to. And, you know, that's, again, a lot easier said than done. But I think part of that is just sometimes we have to say no to things that are really good, right? Sometimes an opportunity presents itself and we think, oh, that would be so good. But we have to kind of look at our current lives and prioritize. And we can't let something squeeze out our time in the Word and our time in prayer. And for me, that can be the first thing to go because I feel like, well, I know what the Bible says. I've spent a lot of time over the years reading it, or I'll pray about that later, or I'll pray about it before I go to bed. And then I don't know if anybody else is like me, but I'm asleep like within seconds of my head hitting the pillow. Sometimes my poor husband's like telling me a story and I'm just asleep in the middle of it. And so just making that a priority and not an afterthought. I mean, my kids know in the morning, sometimes I have to wake up early. I don't love to wake up early, but if that's the only time in the day that I'm going to have time with the Lord, then I'm going to wake up early. I have to. My life depends on it. And being able to be the mom that I want to be and the friend that I want to be and the wife that I want to be depends on if I am having connected time with God. And so that can mean saying no to the extra hour of sleep that I really want, especially as it gets dark and cold. But my kids know when they wake up, they're going to find me on the couch with my Bible open. My little guy will come cuddle up to me and he'll say, "Ooh, can you read me this book?" And I'll tell him in 10 minutes, I can read you the book, but I'm talking to Jesus first. And that's something I learned from my own mom. When I walked downstairs every morning as a child and then as a teenager, and then even as a young adult, when I would come visit and stay in her house, she would be in her one chair with her Bible open and her highlighter. A big thing for me that is unpopular opinion, but has been taking social media off my phone. Because when I have 5 extra minutes in line at the grocery store, when I have 10 extra minutes in the waiting room at the doctor's office, I can scroll on social media and become consumed with anxiety about what I should be doing, what my house should look like, what my holiday traditions should look like, what stuff I need that I truly don't need. Or I can pull out a book or the Bible app on my phone and I can read scripture. I had a really good friend in Uganda. We were having babies at the same time. And you know, when you have a newborn baby, whether you're nursing them or bottle feeding them, you're spending an inordinate amount of time keeping this human alive. Like you're sitting and you're feeding the baby. And when I adopted my first infant, I didn't have a smartphone. As I was rocking her in our rocking chair, or I would strap her in a carrier and walk around the block to get her to go to sleep. All the moms are nodding.
Yes.
I didn't have a smartphone. So I would sing worship and I would practice the scripture that I was memorizing. And then by the time I had my son, I did have a smartphone and I would sit in the rocking chair, but I would be looking at stuff or scrolling through stuff on my phone. And so a good friend of mine who was having babies at the same time as me challenged me that we were going to memorize scripture in that time instead of scrolling. And so I would hang it up on the nursery wall so that I can see it, but I also would set it as the background on my phone.
Nice.
So that if I reached for my phone to start to scroll, I was like, oh, there it was, right? And I would practice. And so we would check in with each other to say like, hey, have you memorized this scripture? My husband right now, one of his best friends, they do this with each other all the time. They're called Fighter Verses. And it's this app where you get a scripture that you're going to memorize. And his friend will call him in the middle of the day and say, okay, Philippians 4, go. And I'll hear Benji like start reciting the scripture verse, or they'll pull each other aside. We were out to dinner the other night. They pulled each other aside and they said, okay, go. Memorizing God's word, hiding it in our hearts so that even in the middle of the crazy situations where maybe you can't reach for your Bible. I mean, technology makes it easy. Now, if you don't have a Bible app on your phone, like just go ahead and put it there.
Or you can even listen to it.
Yes, you can listen to it. You can, there's an app I have where you can change the guy's voice who's reading it to you, whatever accent you want. But having God's word so hidden in us that it starts to inform our thoughts, it starts to inform our speech. I mean, I mentioned yesterday in a season of really intense anxiety for me, I would wake up in the middle of the night and my thoughts would just start going and I would be worried about everything. I could get to a point where in the middle of the night, I wasn't even sure if I believed in God anymore. I mean, it could get that
dark.
Dark. And I would not be able to fall back to sleep. And I memorized Psalm 91 and I would just say it to myself over and over and over again in the middle of the night. And it became a lifeline. And it's because God's word is living and active.
It's sharper than a two-edged sword.
Yes, it's different than memorizing something else. Whether we see it or not, whether we feel it or not, it is changing us from the inside out. And I don't know how, other than by God's goodness and grace, but I am a different person today than I was 3 years ago because I have prioritized memorizing his word. And so it sounds like a simple thing. Maybe to some listeners right now, it sounds like an ad, like, oh, another thing to do. I would say, man, say no to whatever you have to say no to make God's word a crucial part of your day.
I am amening all of that. I remember as a young mom walking downstairs when my sister was visiting, and she's up at 4:30 with her cup of coffee and her Bible, and she had four little boys. I remember saying, you get up at 4:30 every day? She said, you don't get up at 4:30 every day? How can you survive a day without his word? I was so convicted. Yeah. You know, I'm kind of that night person. And so, but I remember watching that and admiring that, thinking like, this is really important. I was younger than she was. And the other thing that happened because I watched her so faithfully, she ended up passing away of lung cancer when she was only 45. But the word hidden in her heart continued. Like, she would stand and worship in her last days and worship. And that's what got her through. But I remember, Katie, maybe you can relate to this too. After having babies, I needed a stress release. And so I would go work out. I'd always get my workout in. And that's the thing. We get our stuff in that we really value, you know?
Yeah.
You might get your Starbucks in, or you might get your workout in. And I remember having this, coming home from a workout, and I hadn't spent time with God in quite a few days. And I was younger, probably in my 20s. And I remember God kind of posing this question, what would it look like if you made me more important than even your workout? Oh, and so I made this commitment, like, I'm not going to go work out until I have spent some time with God. That was one of the best decisions I've ever made because of the importance. He transforms us in our time with him, doesn't he?
He does.
And if he can do that, if you're doing that with 15 kids.
That's what I was going to say. I'm serious. The listener's probably going, yeah, but you don't understand my life. I don't have time. Well, do you understand who just told you this? 15 kids. And she's saying
and
somehow. And homeschooling and writing. I mean, I probably don't know half the other things you're doing. But the fact that you still have anxiety and all that, and yet you're saying one of the best ways to combat that is the word of God and prayer. I want to ask you this, because you mentioned your parents. You're 18 years old. You literally decide, I'm going to Uganda. They let you do that.
Crazy. They let me do it.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, what would help our listeners, because a lot of our listeners are parents, and they're like, man, I would love to have a daughter turn out like Katie. I'd love to have a son who goes on mission and changes the world. What kind of things did they do? I mean, there's no formula, but as you think about it, what gave you that vision?
My parents are pretty incredible. And the older I get, the more I realize that. Like, isn't that how it goes? Like, the more you parent your own kids, the more you're like, wow, my parents were unbelievable. They did love the Lord, and they prioritized being part of a faith community. They prioritized devotions around the table. They prioritized family meals. Family was really a rock for me. I mentioned that I saw my mom frequently with her Bible open. She prioritized Bible studies that she went to, but they taught me from a very, very young age that I was very privileged and that there were many, many people in the world who did not live with the same amount of money, the same amount of provision that I had. And so from a young age, they encouraged, we served as a family in different homeless ministries around the area that we worked. When I was a young teenager, I began serving with my mom in a halfway house for women who had been previously incarcerated and struggled with addiction. And both of my parents, I mean, my dad still gets up so early every Saturday morning to drive the bus for the Room in the Inn program with our church to make sure that these unhoused people in our area have a warm place to sleep through the winter months. I watched my parents be very others focused and very service oriented. My mom, she does not meet a stranger, and it does not matter if you are from a different place or if you don't have a home or if you look a little bit different than her or you speak a little bit different than her. She's so kind to everybody. Unequivocally, she was always hosting things. We had different people stay in our home, exchange students or people who needed a place to go. And so really, I think they taught me about the Bible and they taught me about Jesus with their words. But I think what was so much more impactful is they lived that way. And so it came second nature to me to want to love others in that way. And on the one hand, I think they were a little bit surprised when I made the life choices that I did. But on the other hand, I think maybe they weren't so surprised because I think that that was who they raised me to be.
When you wrote your first book, Kisses for Katie, what was their response?
By the time it published, that was like 3 years in. So by that time, they were pretty on board and excited. There was a time, probably the first year or two that I was in Uganda, I think they just really wondered if I was throwing away a lot of opportunity.
I bet.
I was choosing not to go to college, and they had worked really hard to set me up very well on this specific path where I would have lots of opportunities opened to me. And so
they were thinking, this is a gap year.
Yeah, gap year. And she'll come right back and she'll go back to kind of, you know, normal adult life. And so I think there was definitely a time where they were very concerned that I was throwing away opportunities. I'm like, what? I was just going to live in Uganda and like serve people for the rest of my life. But my dad tells a story that he had a very clear moment. I was back in the United States doing some fundraising for the ministry that I had founded. And I was telling a story in front of a group of people. And he would say that during that time, he really felt the Lord say to him, Scott, don't stand in my way. And he didn't tell me that story for years. Like he told me that story years later. But I think both my parents, because they were prioritizing time spent with God and time in prayer, they were able to hear from him. And he was really kind of prompting them to say, like, let go of your hopes and dreams and expectations for your child. And let her walk in what I'm calling her to, which, well, now as a parent
I was teenagers,
I'm like, oh, that's so hard.
I know, that's what I was thinking. You have teenagers now. So to let our kids go off on this wild, crazy dream.
Talking about anxiety.
Yeah.
That's what you feel. But, you know, as you were saying it, I think, and we've talked about this many times on this program, is parenting is so much who you are, not what you do. I mean, what you do matters. Yeah. You want to have a strategy. You want to know what you're trying to do as a parent, but our kids are watching. We're modeling. It sounds like your parents who have never met, we're living the life you're living now in a different way.
Yeah,
They weren't in Uganda. They were here in the United States, but they were living a faith-filled,
open-handed,
eyes seeing those around them that were less fortunate and saying, God has blessed me. I do want to mention this. You know, you guys did a devotional at the kitchen table?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
And here's a daughter who wrote a devotional. And we're going to have you read something from that devotional again. I think it'd be great for our listeners to hear, but I want to let our listeners know that the devotional you're going to hear Katie read from that she wrote is a gift that we're going to send to you for you sending a gift to us. You make a financial contribution to Family Life this month. It will be doubled. And for any amount, by the way, and we'll send you our Faithful God, which Katie's going to read right now. But here's how you do it. Go to familylifetoday.com. You can make a gift there or call us at 1-800-358-6329. That's 800, F as in family, L as in life, and the word today.
I am so excited that Family Life is making this devotional, Our Faithful God, available to you guys. I really just hope and pray that you'll get a copy and that you'll be so encouraged in God's word. If you're somebody who's having a hard time staying committed in God's word every day, this is designed to be short and doable and give you some direction in your time in the word. And I really pray that you'll be encouraged by it.
All right. What are you going to read us today?
Okay, this is fun because the one I picked to read today actually really goes well with what we were just talking about. It's called God Who Gives Us Courage to Stay. At 18 years old, I moved across the ocean to a village in East Africa with a suitcase full of crayons and construction paper and a heart determined to change the world with the gospel. I was bright-eyed and optimistic. It is beautiful and brave to set off for a foreign land, to follow his calling into the new, the unknown, the exciting. But I've learned that sometimes it takes just as much courage, perhaps even more, to stay, to dig in where it seems old, familiar, and unexciting, to not grow weary in doing the good that he has placed right in front of you, right here. And right now, early on in my adult life, God did a lot of pretty radical things. Together, we grew a big ministry and a big family in the beautiful country of Uganda, which I called home for more than 15 years. He used that bright-eyed optimism, blind trust, and often naivety in ways that I never could have imagined. The Lord would take the darkest and most difficult places of my life and make them the places where I knew him more intimately and deeply than I had ever fathomed possible. I hung laundry on the line more often than I cared for the dying, and I made huge pots of spaghetti and changed diapers and mediated sibling rivalries as my amazing team of Ugandan staff worked on the front lines, providing for our community and sharing the gospel. As I folded mountains of laundry, I began to wrestle with a longing to do something bigger for the kingdom. As I chopped carrots and checked homework and wiped noses, I wondered if this was what I was supposed to be doing for the gospel. At night, after I tucked warm little bodies into bed, I'd sit down to plan the next day's spelling lesson and wonder what a value, if anything, I had accomplished that day. In the quiet, God whispered a secret. Obedience is always the bravest. This daily laying down of myself for my family, for my neighbor, for my community, is just as beautiful to the heart of God as any grand gesture or dramatic move. When I ask myself what I want my children, my friends, my community to remember of me one day, I want them to remember me curled up on the couch with my Bible. I want them to remember a warm smile when they walked in the door and a warm meal on a cold night. And most of all, I want them to remember that in all of it, the big and the small, the miraculous and the mundane, my joy was found in Jesus alone. I want to be the one brave enough to stay, courageous enough to share about what God has done for her again, and daring enough to do little things in obedience to him. Where is God calling you to grow your roots deeper? Wherever it is, ask him for the courage you need to love extravagantly and not grow weary of doing good.
Man, I love that.
Yeah, that's so good. And I just say one more time, Ben, we'd love to send you that, this book, Our Faithful God, is our gift to you for sending us a financial gift. Just go to familylifetoday.com and we'll send it to you.
And you can get her book, Safe All Along, in our store here at Family Life Today. And Katie, what a good reminder. Like, God is with us. He mm-hmm. sees us, even in the mundane.
Yeah.
The miraculous can happen, and that he is with us.
Yes.
Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have Melissa Krueger with us, and we'll see you then on Family Life Today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.